coming soon to a podcast near you. This book has teeth, but one of you must eat it, chew it, and swallow it, and then act as the book might act. This is no small trick. Then there is the dance. Once the dance begins, others arrive. It is their job to pretend to be someone else, but to feel real fear. As they act, they dance. They dance with the person that has become the book. They dance with their real fear. They dance around a table, and a story is told in the tracks of their steps. Let us not forget the dice. The dice sing. The dice sing of opening doors and brains spraying across the walls, and the translation of books. The song of the dice lets you climb burning tapestries and scream and go mad and hide, weeping in the dark as marionettes spin in echoing tunnels of smooth stone. The dice sing a tune to which the false people dance while the book inside leads you all on. And whether you want to or not, you dance. We dance. We all dance, hand in hand, until the end of the world. Coming next week from the Rancor's Brothel, Impossible Landscapes, a Delta Green campaign by Dennis Detweiler. The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
So, in the Seelie Court, Nika ends up leaving you after pointing out that, or, well, telling you the name of that other elf. And you are left in the middle of a raucous fey party. What do?
I'm still looking to start a ruckus.
Well, Kellen finds that as he's going amidst the party, that it's very difficult to party harder than Fae. Most mischief that you cause, there are lots of creatures willing to go along with.
Oh, no, I know there would be, of course.
It's quite likely that Kellen ends up very drunk.
Oh, I didn't say I was drinking.
Okay, you're being careful there?
No, I'm trying to find the most powerful and chaotic person that I can find.
You found yourself.
Chaotic, yeah,
it's
powerful.
It's unlikely that anyone's, you know, letting their full power fly in the middle of a party.
Yet. Because I want to speak to somebody who actually has some oomph in the court, not just the random folks. So the reasons why I was trying to find Robin Goodfellow or some such individual.
I guess make an investigation check, but base it on charisma.
Okay. That's going to be significantly less exciting. Well, I guess it's not that bad. It only alters it by 2. Not so great.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
I rolled terribly, and you're going to want me to roll something better than a single digit, I'm sure. So.
Okay. So you ask around. You try to sound out people who's like, oh, is he your boss? Or, you know, who's, you know, just all sorts of leading questions about power and all that sort of thing. And you get plenty of enthusiastic answers, but as you like end up, you know, some of these people you can't even find. But the ones that you do find, turns out that, you know, it was pretty overblown, and that the person you find is very willing to talk themselves up, but you don't get the impression that they're actually what you're looking for. There are a lot of creatures here. It does make it sort of difficult to single people out.
But there's no way to distinguish who is actually a part of the court and who is just here for the party.
Not visually, no.
And no one is occupying the throne?
Nope.
Nushka would like to get Pipsky a drink and try and find out more about this party. What's the occasion? What's going on?
Okay, sure. Bunch of people you ask don't really know what it's for. They're just there because why wouldn't they be? But eventually, you do start hearing stuff about Titania and Oberon's daughter, Verinestra, the goddess of dryads, has apparently won some victory against interlopers that were trying to attack one of her forests. And they won, and that was a good enough reason. So party.
I will relay if... Yeah, I'll relay the conversation I had with Mika to...
the others?
To the others.
I think it's really important to figure out what the power relation is between these elves and the Seelie Court. What is this deal that they've struck?
I think it's really important to find out the connection between the Fae and Nevthelion. Like, 900 years ago, was there a bunch of Fae that went missing and have never come back?
I mean...
What would it take for the Fae to join a mortal army and fight alongside them?
Do you want to go, like, start asking around about that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure how much about Nevthelion we want to tell people.
Okay.
But these are questions that are nagging me.
Okay. You could make an investigation check, but do it at disadvantage because people want to party.
Do they have the daughter, like, on some sort of dais or something somewhere where it's clearly this is the person we're celebrating? Like, you usually know who the birthday kid is, you know what I mean?
Nothing immediately stands out. There's a whole lot of people in very outlandish costumes. They all seem to be trying to one-up each other.
I rolled a 19 and a 16 on disadvantage. Okay. So that gives me a total of a 16.
And what's the main thrust of the question then?
Oh, I was looking at Pipsky's intelligence. Yes, I have a plus 0. So what did you ask, Dave? I'm sorry.
What was the main thrust of the question, or the avenue of questioning?
What would it take to get Fae to join a mortal army on the material plane? And has there ever been a large contingent of Fae go missing and never come back?
Okay. So amidst the responses that are like, oh, come on, lay off, just have some fun. You do find a few more sober Fae and a few that are just a little bit more on the philosophical, well, sort of side. And you get a few serious answers. From those, you gather that in order to join a mortal army, like in numbers, it would almost certainly have to be at the command of some more powerful force, like probably one of the Inner Circle. Maybe one of the Outer Circle. You know, what most folk on the material plane would consider a god, but, you know, at the very least, an archfey. And given that there's, you know, there's nobody on the Feywild takes censuses, so you don't really get any firm answer on whether or not a bunch disappeared.
All right.
But surely they'd know if a significant number of them had disappeared, you know, at the time of the fall of Nephthelion, if that's what Jeff's getting at.
Well, perhaps the two of you are talking about it, or the thing that comes to mind probably is that they would know if they disappeared from the Seelie Court, but no one says anything about that.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
I think we need to pull a Karen and speak to the manager. And you know the surest way to do that, right? I love looking back at you guys and just like, oh, damn it, what now? So you were saying that there was a separated spot where there were thrones, right?
Yeah.
Anybody really watching when I fly over and sit down on one of them?
I cast sleep on Kellen.
I don't know if the spell has enough HP to get him. It might.
Probably not. Are you at full health, Cody?
Theoretically I would be at
I got a javelin.
76 out of 87.
Okay.
Because technically we leveled, but I don't think I get those hit points until... I'm just assuming if I approach those thrones and act like I'm going to sit down on one or even accomplish sitting down on one, I'm probably going to get the attention of people in power pretty quickly.
In the worst
and
way.
And turn to stone for their garden.
Possibly, but you'll know which ones to talk to.
Oh, this works better. Cody, are you really doing this? Or attempting to do this?
I'm flying in that direction. I don't typically announce what I'm going to do because you try and stop me.
So to be fair to Cody, we see you flying towards the thrones, but we don't know what you're up to other than we suspect you're up to some shit.
Probably, yes.
We don't know exactly what you're going to do.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
You think you can put me to sleep?
Nope.
He called you out, man. Make wisdom saving throw.
Counter,
I like that.
Counter spells are higher than fifth level.
You got your eyes on the thrones. You're not paying attention to what, Alec.
You guys want to push the narrative along, then you get mad when I do. 14. What do you do to me? Because a Gius and a magic memory and a throwing me off a cliff is not enough. What else would you like me to do to not push the narrative?
You're paralyzed.
So you think you're pushing the narrative in a good way.
I didn't say it was a good way. It's pushing the narrative.
I was just glad that Troy's countermanding gave me time to figure out what would happen.
I'm paralyzed, but my winged boots still probably follow my commands.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So then I crash into the throne instead of landing over there nearby.
Yeah. You probably flip over the back of it as a result.
Oh, sure. And I'm totally unable to explain my actions.
And end up in a weird straight pose, laying on the ground, unable to bend your limbs.
Perfect.
There's probably the immediate reaction is laughter. a few folks in the area are definitely pointing in your direction. And someone yells out, "Don't fly drunk."
I will continue to, as best as I can, probably upside down, I would imagine, get my boots to flip me back over to some sort of dignified position.
Yeah, you can probably end up back upright in the air, some effort.
Has anyone noticed my transgression of hanging out on or near the thrones?
No one seems to have labeled it as a transgression yet, and more of a someone doing something stupid.
I think that they can be both.
And I'm sorry, right. What spell did you cast, Troy?
Hold person.
Ah, okay.
Is any of the rest of the party doing anything at this point?
Making my head.
What was my plan
was to go and collect him and remove him from the throne area.
I'm sure you could get over there, but Calvin would probably see you coming and could probably just fly higher.
I have boots as well.
That's true.
Enter chase combat.
Kellen, are you going to run?
Well, I mean, I would like to no longer be held so that I could continue to attempt to find someone who would know some of these things.
I'm just wondering if we now have a comical aerial chase over the heads of the crowd.
I mean, yeah, probably. I'm looking to see if there's anything, because I would still have verbal, right?
Nope.
Hold person, I can't speak.
It says can't move or speak. Can't take actions or reactions, automatically fail saving throw, strength and dex saving throws, attacks have advantage.
Then yeah, I'm going to continue to fly around and awkwardly knock over the thrones as much as possible and try and loop Troy into every bit of it.
Okay. As you're just sort of flying around the area, you do start getting a bit more of an audience who still seem to be very entertained by the whole thing. How long does hold person last? A minute?
A minute.
If I can dip my hands down and high-five going by, I will. I'm not exactly sure in what rictus position I'm held in.
Sure. I mean, it's probably only like 30 seconds of being chased around before you're no longer under hold person.
I'm going to turn to Nishka and ask, why is he in our party again?
I mean, we're the ones who agreed to go with him.
I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean, you found me out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you guys kind of pick up whatever comes your way.
he's pretty much right. Grandmama is correct.
As Nushka and Rook are sort of standing, observing everything, Nushka and Eladrin with sort of golden eyes sort of comes up next to you, looks down and says, "We're an odd pair."
Me and the Tin Man or me and the Drake?
Both. Also those two. Where are you from? What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm from Stonegale, personally. We came here with the elves.
Yes.
Where did we pick them up? I can't even
think of the elves.
We came here with Ed O'Neill.
Yeah, I can't think of the leader's name.
Edeniel.
Edeniel. We came here with the Denios people.
Ah, interesting. They letting in anybody now?
Yeah, they said if we wanted a chance to talk to them, then we had to follow them because they were on their way out.
Ah, well, who would want to miss a party like this?
No, I heard about the party, and I knew I'd never get to see something like this again.
Do you like it?
It is definitely interesting.
I don't blame you for just labeling it interesting. Your kind are not particularly known for,
interesting.
Some of this.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Dwarves will party.
Oh, I know.
It's just not normally courtly. Who might you be?
She takes a step back as a dryad sort of runs by, pushing an elf in a wheelbarrow. She's like, I'm not sure I'd always call it courtly. And a moment later, there are trumpets that sort of blast out over the whole gathering. And she's like, oh, excuse me. Seems like things are about to start. And she disappears off into the crowd. A moment later, you see her break from the crowd and step up onto the dais and walk over and sit down in the throne.
Man, I'm glad it took all that jackassery to get an introduction with the person who sits on the throne.
You're welcome.
A moment later, she is joined. Balls. Moment later, she is joined by a particularly muscular-looking male fairy who comes and sits on the other throne. And the Eladrin stands up and says, welcome to the summer court. Sorry, I just spilled some beer. Mildly.
It's only like spilling beer sounds appropriate in the summer court.
That's true. It's only like the second time I've ever spilled anything on my desk.
I was looking at another window. All I heard was I spilled some beer, and then and you cut out completely. I had to click back and make sure you were still actually here.
All right. I think we're good. All right. So, welcome to the summer court. Varanestra has driven back those who would invade the forest of Lekithron. Now, let it be summer. And she raises up a hand, and it looks like most of the bands that were all scattered throughout the crowd have now sort of rearranged themselves into one sort of makeshift orchestra, and they begin playing a very loud and jovial melody that carries across the whole crowd. And sort of over the beginning of it, she yells, eat, drink, and be merry. And she sits back down and just sort of leans over and begins talking to the fairy on the other throne.
Knowing that he can't really eat or drink, the Tin Man will make a very awkward and big smile on his face and attempt to be merry.
Party mode initiate.
Party, party, yeah.
Nushka is going to try and get up and talk to... they just said her name, and I completely spaced it already. The lady, the Eladrin.
Okay. So you're walking up to the throne?
Yes.
Okay. As you walk over, she says, hello again. Are you here to petition?
She'll kind of bow and say, no, I honestly just didn't know who I was talking to. I wanted to show the proper respect and congratulate you on your victory.
Oh, well, the congratulations belong to Varanestra, but anyway, welcome.
Okay, I thought that's who I was talking to.
You were talking to the queen, sir.
She says, oh no, my name is Titania. Who are you?
Nushka. Nushka. Latunia Kamni.
Nushna Latunia Kamni. And I am Titania. This is Oberon. Say hi, Oberon. Whacks him on the shoulder. She says, oh, hello.
It is an honor to meet you. When you say petition, what do you mean petition?
Well, that's usually
what can be petitioned for?
Well, anything. I just might say no.
Oh, okay.
Lots of times I say
I didn't know if me being a dwarf here among all the elves and the fae, if I'd be given the same chances that other people might.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Depends on what you ask for. If you ask for a giant pitcher of beer, I can oblige.
What about information?
Perhaps.
What
would you like to know?
She stops for a minute and wants to make sure exactly what she wants to know.
If Troy's done casting spells on me and I've continued to crawl under people's legs to avoid him like a rambunctious child, which is the size that I am at least, I will join Jeff on the dais since that's what I've been trying to do since we arrived.
Okay. So as you sort of alight next to the dwarf, Titania says, look, she says, oh, look, the buzzing bee has arrived. Hello, bee.
Given that the bee is most important to the flowering of summer, I appreciate the kind title, Summer Queen.
Well said.
And I will take the most ostentatious of flourishes. You throw a most excellent party, Summer King and Queen.
Well, thank you, but it's only just getting started.
Excellent, excellent. I look forward to see how the fairy folk truly party. I appreciate being invited to as a guest to these most magical of realms.
Well, what is your name, gnome?
Nushka will introduce him.
Okay.
And how does Nushka introduce me, might I inquire?
With every distinction that is due you. Properly and courtly.
Well, thank you. I didn't know if I was being introduced. He's the asshole of the group.
No, she's trying to impart to you that, hey, maybe you should just fucking cool it.
I don't know that that's what she's imparting upon me. I think that's what you're trying to impart upon me. But contrary to what you say, I did get their attention.
And I'll wave the other two over too, and explain to them about the petitioning and what information exactly are we looking? I have questions that I'd like to answer, but I'd like you guys' input too before I ask.
While you're sort of conferring for a moment, two elves sort of run up the stairs, followed by a dryad. And they say, great queen, can we bring out the elephant? And she sort of looks over at Oberon. She's like, it's a little early, isn't it? And Oberon just sort of shrugs. He says, why not? And she says, all right. And they're like, woohoo, and run off.
I mean, if you need elephants, I can give you elephants.
I was going to nudge Kellen.
I just need somebody not to make a wisdom save. What sort of merriment can we expect out of the elephants?
Oh, it's just one. And it dispenses liquor.
Fascinating.
Well, cordial of a kind. You probably shouldn't drink any.
I appreciate the forewarning and or the challenge, Your Highness. Most fascinating how you prepare for these parties. I am intrigued to see how the evening continues.
Anybody, anything?
Yeah, you have a couple minutes while, you know, she was distracted and stuff.
I mean, I think whatever. We definitely are holding conversation with the court, so I don't necessarily know if we petition or if we just ask questions and see what she says. I'd almost rather save a petition for, like, hey, can you teleport us to this place? If she wants to be conversational, we could just be conversational.
Well, that's why I'm wanting to ask the question, and if you guys would like to petition for something, then you haven't spoiled your chance.
Summer Queen, hopefully I am not too impertinent in asking, but I am quite curious. It must be highly unusual to have those from the material plane attend such galas. Is that typical, or is that fairly unusual to have such guests?
An occasional occasion.
Understood. But I'm a bit surprised that the elves from the north were invited. I was not aware that there were some major dealings between the Fae and the elves.
We have an arrangement.
Ah, very good. Very good.
You haven't had any other arrangements, have you? Say, around 900 years ago?
I have had many arrangements across many years with many people.
What about Nephthalion?
I seem to recall was a city of elves on the material plane.
Right. And around 900 and some odd years ago, it completely went dark. It was overrun. Locked down.
Interesting. It was never much of an interest to me.
Well, it kind of fell out of interest for everybody. until recently when we were sent to excavate the site. And we got in past the first magical lock and found Faye in there.
Oh, really?
It seems that they've been locked in.
Okay, interesting.
You see, it may be most offensive, so if I am offending, I do apologize. But the legend on the material plane goes that some dark, evil necromancer somehow bound the souls of the damned and the lesser fae, or maybe even the greater fae, into this horrific army that overran all of Nephtelion. And it may just be a legend, but we were most intrigued and surprised to find Faye once we walked in there.
Up to now, she seems to have been sort of like been bemused and just sort of like humoring you. She seems to sit up a little bit more and says, "An army of fae?"
So the legend goes. I'll be honest, your eternal nature is incomprehensible to us, but that is, of course, many, many lifetimes ago for mortal beings. But that is what they say. I was most surprised again when we opened the door and found some fae servants.
How many is some?
Signs of many more, but only a few.
Only a few still active.
And then now she sort of leans forward a little from the throne. She says, "What kind of fae?"
Well, I'm no expert. Nothing too horrifically powerful, but we were only able to manage to step upon one level, Summer Queen. We believe that there are the true powerful creatures are presumed to be locked.
Gnome, what kind?
I will describe to her exactly what we saw.
Centaurs and a satyr.
I think she's asking in terms of court, which I was intentionally not telling her.
She leans to the left and whispers something to Oberon.
There was ice everywhere.
Yup, that's what I was trying not to allude to. Well, trying to allude to more heavily, I guess, would be more honest of what I'm trying to do. Any of me and my enemy and all that, Jeff.
So the two of them are just sort of whispering back and forth at the moment.
I'll look around politely. Politely ignoring their conversation while looking for this elephant that dispenses cherry cordials or whatever the hell it is. Hopefully out of its trunk.
It turns out to be a giant, like, 15-foot carved wooden elephant.
Nice.
And it doesn't come out of the trunk.
It does.
As I say, it could have come out of the ass, too. Either one would have been great.
It seems to be like, the trunk seems to be like a big lever, and you pull it down, and it fills up whatever the container is.
I was hoping it was like a beer bong. They're going to lift it up and then put it in the trunk, and then it ferments in the belly and shoots out the ass.
But Titania leans back and says, "Well, thank you for rendering us with this tale."
So it seems like you didn't know anything about this.
Are you asking me for something?
No, but it seems like if you didn't know anything about this, then that limits the options of who would have.
Well, not really. There are a great many fae. Yeah, not all of them pay attention to me.
Right, but as what information we have been able to gather about this says that somebody who was able to put together a force like this would have been someone on your level. So if it's not you guys, it
yes, I understand your implications. What are you asking?
I'm just trying to figure out how a deal like this gets made. What would they get out of joining in this fight?
She straightens back up.
I think that would be a very important thing for you to know.
Her shoulders get sort of square, and her jaw is sort of set, and she says, "I think you may have to ask my sister about that. Enjoy the party." And she turns towards Oberon in a pretty clear dismissal.
Thank you, lady.
Any more people we want to offend tonight?
I wasn't done offending them. I figure I'd take one more shot. I'd also like to point out that Jeff offended them. I did not. But allow me to try and one-up him.
I will remind everyone that we have a boat to get back to, or else it will no longer be our boat.
Summer King and Queen, might I petition the Summer Throne?
Titania looks back, doesn't really say anything, but Oberon says, speak, speak.
Well, so perhaps it is the lovely mood in the air. Perhaps it is the excellent comparison to a bee, but I feel that the encroachment of parties unmentionable into the material realm is a great offense not only to my people, but perhaps also to the throne. And I think it only right and proper, since there has been this gross overstepping of bounds, that we do whatever and wherever we can to push this back, and to remove this oversight, this stepping over of boundaries into the material plane. And I simply ask the court for a favor, to provide me with a boon or some sort of power to help push these out of the material plane and back to the court where they belong, lest they encroach further on our plane of existence or further offend your lordships.
Titania seems to be probably more offended now.
I went up to Jeff.
Looks like Jeff dropped out for a second. His power had a problem. Oberon does not seem to have taken anywhere near the same amount of offense and says, well, a valid point, some might say, but you know, really, not really our concern. Dead elven city. Elves are already dead.
Begging your kingship's pardon.
And on the material plane, not our subjects.
I think it's a mite bit closer to your front door than you might imagine, if the elves we came with are to be believed.
Really?
Yes. Has to do with elk, lantern, pandemonium, just kind of, and I kind of point outward that way. I don't think the problem's nearly as contained as the elves would have the world believe. Nor do I think the things down there are necessarily dead or undead.
At this point, Titania stands up and walks away. And Oberon says, don't worry about her. She's, well, never mind. How exactly is pandemonium our front door?
Well, my understanding is that doorways lead here to from pandemonium, do they not?
Well, doorways are all over the place. Sure. We haven't been overrun yet.
No. I was just, some in my party. Jeff's not here to interrupt me, so I'm just going to go ahead and spill the beans. Some of my party have heard tell. We came through with the elves via pandemonium, and there were signs there that some of those thought to be locked in Nevthelion are actually moving through pandemonium, which would allow them, therefore, to strike from any direction to any place, theoretically, since there are doors everywhere. And who knows what elven magics they've been working on down there for 900 some odd years.
Well, you're partially right and partially wrong. The doors in... You were talking about Cocytus, yes?
Sure.
Yes. Harmonica. The doors there don't lead anywhere. You can't just walk through a door and it'll take you wherever you want. The doors go to specific places.
Sure. That makes sense.
I can assure you that none of them are a threat to us.
Okay. Well, I'm glad
to hear
that.
Is there not a door that leads here?
Oh, there is. Do you have a door to your front house? You know, the front of your house? You live in houses, right?
Usually.
Is that what they're called?
He goes to an aide. What are those domiciles called when they cut down trees so harshly?
Just saying, I think his point stands. If there's an army that has a doorway to a place that has a doorway to here, that puts them only two steps away.
Yes, well, your concern is noted and appreciated and, well, disregarded by Titania, but again, don't worry about her right now.
We would most gladly take up the banner of the summer court, if need be, to vanquish these foes.
Yes, of course.
If only those blasted elves weren't getting in our way.
Okay, sorry.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, you remember the novel Summer Night?
Yes.
That's basically what's happened while you were gone. Trying, anyway.
Which part? You murdered in the summer night?
Well, we haven't gotten to the murdering yet, but if I have to, I will.
You stole a mantle of power?
Stole is if I have to, Jeff. Trying to attain firsthand.
So what did you petition for?
Being a summer night, more or less. power to vanquish the Winter Court and its overstepping of its bounds into the material plane and being just a short stone's throw away now from invading the Summer Court with the portals from Nephthelion straight to here via Pandemonium.
Oberon sort of says, well, even if I were inclined, you don't really seem like the type. And he sort of like nods towards your spell book.
I don't understand.
Do you want to be a warlock, Cody?
I mean, depends on how much power we're talking about here.
I mean, when I started wanting to make a warlock, it was totally to be a winter knight.
But yeah, no, you don't seem like the type.
I mean, you could switch that 12th level wizard over to one level of warlock real easy. We haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah, I don't know that it's 100% worth it. I'm just hoping that he's going to give us a little something to get into Nephthelion here. I must say, though, Summer King, that I am surrounded by a cadre of incredibly powerful individuals. And again, it is our goal, whether it is a concern of the throne or not, it is an infringement upon us of the material plane. So we will vanquish these foes strictly to rid them of their danger to our own plane of existence. And we wish to inform you, given it is your sister-in-law, I guess, this court appears to be involved. It seemed only fitting to inform you after your gracious hosting of us at this party.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, of course. However, I also wish to warn you not to meddle idly in the affairs of Aurel. She is not a forgiving sort.
Aurel what?
Aurel is the Queen of Air and Darkness?
Mm-hmm.
Or the... Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Huh.
Would most or any of us know that?
I would assume so. I mean, I would assume legend, at least.
Yeah.
We ain't got her digits, but we know who she is.
Yeah. Okay. On the other hand, I suppose you have given us knowledge freely. Ah, it's a party. Perhaps a gift in return is appropriate, after all.
That would be
if
most
you are able to.
Gracious of you. We do not deserve such an honor.
If you're able to deal with some of her ilk, well, then we all benefit, I think. Well, go have a drink. I'll think of something.
Do we push our luck and try and get him to force the elves to give us permission to get the key, or is that way too many steps down the line?
I don't think they have any authority to tell the elves to do one thing or another.
I mean, right now the elves are literally here to hide from something that we haven't quite figured out what it is yet.
Yeah, we might mention to them that I've already asked you her name, the leader.
Daniel.
Is very,
I'll put it in chat in Roll20.
Thank you. A Daniel. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, Ed O'Neill.
It's a Daniel. Like Aaron. We've got a Daniel, we've got Siphon Filter, and we've got Nico, who has to go bowling with his cousin.
I was gonna say, like, discussion and influence would be one thing, but like, I don't think it would fly with Mirael if he found out that someone forced the elves to give their permission.
But see, here's the thing. I think Mirael has this sort of connection to them that he thinks exists, and they don't give a flying fuck about him at all. So I can't wait to tell him exactly where these people are. That he should come speak to him.
You can, actually. You have a strong compulsion not to.
But I already did.
But you don't remember that.
No. But he does, because he heard it. I can't go back and unspill the beans.
Right, right.
You accomplished your goal, even if you're unaware of it.
Correct.
So let's go have a drink. Let's wait for Oberon to figure out what he's going to figure out. And
but see, I don't know. Can we even leave?
Probably not for a week.
Which is really unfortunate, because I was kind of leaning towards forget the portal. I want to maintain our party barge.
Now, are we for sure losing the party barge?
I mean, we're going to lose the protection on it, and so basically, yeah. I mean, it's free to be taken.
But I mean, we took a...
Well, that's...
So, in the words of the ambassador in The Hunt for Red October, We're talking about several billion dollars of Soviet state property. They're going to want it back.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's how frequently are the Gith testing your barrier?
But
are they like velociraptors? Are they testing it for weaknesses?
Well, if we're here for a week, they don't have to test that thoroughly. It's not going to be that much longer before it's not protected. I mean, they already sent the party after us.
Will they give up after a day or a week?
No.
Or like,
no.
We don't know that. I don't want to test it, but I mean, we don't know that.
This is why I wanted to make sure that Pipsqueak and Claw were off the ship.
I mean, let's just wait for Oberon and then Troy can teleport us back.
I can't teleport us back.
You can't plane shift?
You're level 12. You don't have level 7 spells yet.
Is it level 7?
Jump up a level 7 spell slot?
I don't think any class gets them until level 13.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're saying, yeah, that's next level, not this level.
One place I can teleport us to is a teleportation circle.
We could voluntarily banish somebody.
I mean, you're okay, not that's, wrong. That's oh, funny shit.
I see what you're saying.
That's funny shit.
You're welcome. I'm sure the DM won't make us pay for that, but it will.
Well, I mean, it will. It would only be of limited usefulness.
It'd get us the hell out of here.
It would get one of you the hell out of here.
Well, I'm sure he can cast it more than once.
Yeah, but you can't cast it on yourself.
Well, Troy will have to stay for a week at a fucking orgy. Boo hoo.
I mean, for the lawful good cleric, it might actually be boo-hoo. What I'm confused is, why does Kellen want to leave at all? Why don't you just want to stay here forever?
Two words, Craig.
I don't see anything in the spell where it says you can't target yourself. You just have to be able to see the creature.
Somebody get me a mirror. Party barge. Those are the two words I was going to say. Because I am fucking tired of walking.
Yeah, forget the portal. I want the party barge. I mean, I don't want to, if the rest of you want to explore the portal option, we should go to the portal. Look, this isn't going to help us. Let's GTFO and get back to our party barge.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly not real worried about the party barge. We should probably use the time at the party to figure out the maze stuff, the portal.
So what are you going to do? Just keep popping into Pandemonium and searching for it?
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I did have one idea.
Even go to and from Pandemonium from here freely?
We have to find the one who knows the spell to open the door, and she can teach it to one of us.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's what Nika said.
Yeah, there's still the concern about being stuck in a locked Nephthelion if we teleport there.
Yes, yes.
Then you just teleport to a teleportation circle.
Assuming that there's nothing magical to block us from teleporting to a teleportation circle.
The you do recall that Kira's journal mentioned something about people having to leave the city to scry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll take any opportunity to learn a spell, so let's at least find this person and see what the spell entails.
If we learn that spell, it might enable us to get to Pandemonium from the material plane, maybe.
Is Dave going to give me Shadow Walk?
Let's go find Nika and see if she's figured out where this person is.
I'm also curious as to what boon Oberon is going to bestow upon us as well for providing him with such information about the Unseelie Court.
I mean, at this point, I'm honestly not real sure what our next step needs to be. Do we go delve into Pandemonium to try and figure out where the person who scrawled on the wall in Elvish might have gone?
No, we just need to take one of those elves back with us and talk to Miriel and then get the last key.
Maybe we convince Mika to come talk to Miriel with us. I would like to try and get the party barge, try and convince Miriel to give us the key, and if he won't, kill his ass and party barge our way to Nephthelion. That's my vision of a roadmap. But, you know, we don't have to go that way because I don't want to.
I'm on board with that plan.
I mean, y'all wanted the opportunity to kill Van. I feel like I'm still going to try and talk our way through.
For the recording audience, I believe that Craig said something about killing a vampire and how all of us on this podcast were extremely good looking and he's very jealous of the other four of us. That's what you missed when his audio broke up.
Oh, I didn't realize my
thanks,
audio
Craig. Cut out. Appreciate it. Makes me feel good.
You're welcome. It's all true, what Cody said, every word.
Schroeder, don't go pull his audio.
But I did promise you guys earlier when I talked you out of fighting a vampire, I said if we come back and decide we're going to fight him, I am with you 100% of the way, and I am holding true to my word.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's learn the spell first. Let's see what that entails.
Yeah, I'm finishing writing it.
Okay, then I'm going to run to the restroom. I'll be back.
Okay.
Dave, did I expect us to take this really ridiculous route?
No, I was planning on the spell. I just forgot to write it.
You guys can do whatever you want. It's cool. Teleport wherevs.
Which I keep getting questions about.
That looks like a heck of a spell, Dave.
Yeah. So it takes you probably a couple hours of drifting through the party and asking some, you know, whenever you see an elf that came with you from, you know, the towers. Whenever you find one and you start asking around for Rustoyan, eventually, a couple hours later, and, you know, much intermittent partying later, you do find him already pretty drunk and sort of, you know, pats you on the shoulder. And he's like, no, of course, I can totally teach you the spell. It's a complicated spell. It's not an easy thing, but, you know, It's good. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. You got to be careful. Don't, you know. So, but I can teach you. But you're gonna need a pretty head thingy. It's a, what are those called? Crown. You're gonna need a crown. Tiara. It's just a crown. Just a diadem. A crown. Yes. But you only need it once. It doesn't go away. You can use it lots of times. And in between spells, when you're not using it, you can actually just wear it and be pretty.
He doesn't happen to be wearing the crown, does he?
No, not right now.
Do you have an example crown you can show me?
It's somewhere else. I don't remember where I put it.
Seems like a very valuable thing to lose.
I'll find it. Don't worry.
Dave, who has sent me said spell, it must be worth 500 gold. Okay. Does he then teach me said spell?
No, he seems very disinclined to stop partying.
Sweet.
So it's the question of whether or not you want to sort of wait for him to sober up later, or whether you want to try and twist his arm now.
Nuchka's ears perk up.
I'll cast Shatter on his liver.
Say what now?
Oh my god.
That's not a
thing you can do, right?
No, it's not. You can't target okay. organs.
Hey, where there's a will, there's a way.
Where there's a will, there's a wisp.
Where there's a whip, there's a... Now I'm imagining a magical surgeon in D&D who, like, with careful application, is able to target specific organs, but only, like, close up.
What is Kellen doing?
Contemplating casting Shatter on his liver.
What else?
I'm not real sure. I assume that we are going to have to wait for this guy to sober up unless anyone has any other ideas.
If it's a really dangerous, complicated spell, I don't really want him teaching it to you drunk.
What if Kellen learns it from him while he's drunk, and then Kellen does it while drunk? Does that flip it around and cast the spell as if he were sober?
Yes, two drunk individuals making a decision always make the best decision that would be done while sober.
Two drunks don't make a sober. No, but at around this point, like Nika finds you and sort of comes up and sort of seems to catch the tail end of that conversation. And he sort of pats Rustayan on the shoulder. He's like, hey, where's your spell book? Where's your stuff? He's like, I remember putting it down. It's why do you need it? He's like, there, someone got sick. We need one of your potions. It's like, fine. Get me another round. I'll be back. It's like, why do you need it right now? And Nika just sort of keeps reassuring him or whatever. And he's like, come on. ends up leading you back to like the edge of the whole area where there's shit everywhere just laying on the ground. And it takes a good, like, 10 minutes of walking around looking at different satchels and backpacks and conglomerations of belongings. That's the word I was looking for.
Onings.
David's been talking for too long this evening.
One. Yeah. Anyway, so after about 10 minutes, you finally find the right one. He's like, here we go. Okay. And he pulls out a potion of cure disease or something, or whatever it is, and hands it. And he says, there, you've got what you need. I'm going to get more drinks. Yes. And cheese. And he runs off.
I will then pull out
what else is in that spell book?
Yes, that was the next thing I was going to ask.
Says, Nika says, all right, now he sort of goes back down to the backpack, pulls out the spell book, and says, this might be trapped, mightn't it? Is that how they work?
I throw it to Grandmama. Here, open this. You're the one saying how awesome you are with 4 billion hit points. Whatever it is, isn't that bad.
Open it.
You undo the clasp, crack it open, nothing happens.
Thank you. I will spin it around.
All right. So you find the spell in question, labeled Dead Passage, with a whole bunch of arcane runes describing its casting. And for the folks at home, I'll go ahead and read it, that it has a casting time of a minute, range of touch, somatic and material components, the material component being a silver crown worth 500 gold, concentration for up to an hour, and you conjure a dimly glowing astral doorway up to 15 feet square that stands on its own on whatever surface it's cast upon. When opened, the doorway appears to show simply darkness. If entered, it takes any creature to the plane of Cocytus, and they emerge at a random location within the dead city. As long as the caster of the spell does not pass through the doorway, the spell can be sustained, the doorway can be sustained for up to an hour. During this time, the doorway remains a functional portal from both sides and is visible both at its original location and at its linked door in the dead city. If the caster passes through the doorway disappears. Once in the dead city, the caster can specify a destination on another plane of existence, and as long as concentration lasts, so again up to an hour, they can sense the direction but not the distance of any portals that lead to a location within 100 miles of that destination.
Wow.
So all you have to do is cast this spell and look for a portal into Nevthelion, and this will tell you if it's there.
It'll tell me the direction of the portal closest to Nevthelion. Within 100 miles of Nevthelion.
Within 100 miles.
Portal's plural, so it could be multiple.
It's also a 6th-level spell, so I cast it, we go in, we have an hour to find the other portal, or we're stuck there until I can take a rest and get a 6th-level spell back to maybe point us in the direction again. So it'll be risky.
It also gives an hour.
Once you go through that portal, it closes.
No, we have an hour to find the other one.
I'm going
to
add on here, casting the spell from while already on the plane of Cocytus has no effect.
That seems like a bit of a dick move and was not original. That's not rules as written.
I'm writing them.
Right. As of.
Then how did the elves get us out of Cocytus?
Again, there are portals that lead out of it. It's just the spell gets you in.
Right. Gotcha.
It's a one-way to Cocytus spell. But that means if we took a portal from Cocytus to we lost somebody.
Troy. He just went to AFK.
Yeah. Okay.
He'll figure it out.
If we took a portal from Cocytus to Nevthelion, Cody could portal us back to Cocytus. And then we find another portal from Cocytus back to wherever else outside of Nevthelion on the mortal plane.
Correct.
Or whatever other plane we want to go explore.
Yeah, no. If you want to go to the 537th
basically,
layer of the abyss.
Cocytus is like...
Well, no, I've been right. wanting...
So Cocytus is like the Grand Central Station of plane shifting, and we have a entrance to this Grand Central Station.
Yeah, I've been fucking wanting Shadow Walk so we could just pop wherever we want. Now Dave will let us pop wherever we want, but he's going to script some really dangerous fights in the middle for us, which I'm okay with.
I thought you would.
That trade-off makes it worth it, though. That's great narrative setup, actually. You can travel between whatever planes you want, but with great risk. I can't cast 6th-level spells. I'm still at level 3 spells.
And Dave has narratively ensured that if you ever want to use that spell again, I have to stay alive.
Also, if you go through the portal and not all of us have gone through... We get left behind.
And we don't necessarily need you to survive. We just need to be able to recover your spell book and give it to another mage.
Well, that's going to give us something to think about.
Yeah, where are we going to find the other mage?
I told you, I'd die a making monk.
So how long does it take to scribe a 6th level spell? Does it take 6 hours?
It's going to take a while, I imagine.
I seem to remember it's like an hour per level of the spell.
Your recordings are about to fail here shortly, by the way.
Well, pause then and... why don't you go ahead and stop and save?
Well,
we could wrap up here in a minute or two.
I'm letting you all know you have, I don't have an exact timer, but I know we've been going for almost 4 hours, and right around 4 hours it will stop because the WAV file gave me that.
353.
I'm at 352.
Okay.
So whatever you'd like to say, Dave, say now or forever hold your peace.
Nika sort of hoists up the backpack and just sort of says, I'm trusting you with that, like pointing to the spell book you're holding. Says, if you, you know, just return it before you leave. if you plan to leave.
Absolutely.
And if you want me to find that writing, just come find me.
And Kellen will sit down and begin to work.
12 hours. 300 gold.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z. We got to find a 500 gold silver crown, too.
Yep. Okay.
I'll look where he got the spell book from.
You want to really dick him.
Well, Nika just walked away with the backpack.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so next time we can, you know, decide for realsies for final what you actually are going to end up doing after Kellen has learned the spell and perhaps after more partying.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Ran as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancors Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.